been missing since the last time I did this. So just pay attention, please.
Isn't
it
Club Fair
box?
Have you used that
Club Fair? It is in the Club Fair box. As is Reed Larson's placard. Okay, so I hope it will be back in the bag for next week. It will be. All right, we will get started with attendance real quick. We do have some new people today, and we have some people who are no longer here today. So you might hear some new names, and some names that you expect might not be here. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Bandegard.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Here.
Governor Flamin.
Here.
Councilor Lynn.
Yeah.
Councilor Kobus.
Yeah.
And Councilor Kobus, can you see me at the break, please?
Yeah.
Councilor Anderson.
Here.
Councilor Rates.
Here.
Councilor Moale.
Here.
Councilor Belak.
Here.
Councilor Cutarm.
Here.
Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussein.
Here.
Councilor Stapp.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councilor Ansari.
Here.
Councilor Yao.
Here.
Councilor Rosalind.
Here.
Councilor Bose.
Here.
Councilor Chung. Councilor Chung was in the live stream for about 2 seconds. Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Palmer. Councilor Izuki.
Here.
Councilor Hadouche.
Yep.
Councilor Kim.
Hi.
Councilor DePinto. Councilor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Risby.
Yep.
Councilor Bruce. And Councilor Belcourt. I am here, as is the general manager. We have lots of guests today. I'll begin by reminding you all of the oath you have taken, and we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Cree 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papa Space Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationships. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. So I have quite a few things for speaker's business today. First off, we have had one resignation from Students' Council. Connor Palandat is no longer on Students' Council. You can see his resignation letter in the order papers. As well, we've had six people removed from Students' Council due to attendance. Look at the attendance really quick. I can tell you who those people are. Six people are Mario Husseini, Kara Ferris, Cindy Lang, Sayed Mustafa, Brianne St. Hilaire, and Abigail Bernaroli have all been removed due to unsatisfactory attendance. Four of those six, all of them except for counselors or Cindy Lang and Brianne St. Hilaire, have appealed their removal, and they may be brought back under council. We will know by the end of the week. Okay, as per standing orders, we are supposed to do attendance regulations and the oath at the beginning of the semester. However, since there will be a by-election, I will wait until after the by-election to do the oath, standing orders, oath, attendance regulations, and the confirmation of enrollment will be done after the by-election. We have two new counselors with us this evening, so please give them a welcome. We have Counselor Yao from Faculty of Engineering. And Counselor Hussein from the Faculty of Business. We will, of course, the by-election is upcoming, and with some other people leaving, we will, of course, have more counselors taking people's places over the next couple weeks. So look forward to that. Next meeting of Students Council will be next Tuesday. This is the only time scheduled as of right now that we're going to have two Tuesdays in a row. This is just to get us back on track because of the kind of weird schedule during the summer. So many of you have noticed that I posted a rules of debate and clarification and review thing on here. I didn't put anything with it. I just wanted to go over some things that were brought to my attention based on a few things that happened over the summer while I wasn't here and as well while I was here. So we're going to quickly take a look here. While I'm speaking here, I'm going to open up the standing orders to the rules of debate. There's a couple specific things I wanted to talk about. I was allowing before, and we had seen a lot of deferring remaining time to another member of council. Upon looking further into Robert's rules, that is actually not allowed. So I will no longer be allowing deferring remaining speaking time to another member of council. However, according to our standing orders, you are allowed to extend your speaking privileges to a guest outside of their normal time. So normally guests can only speak during open forum while asking a question. But if you believe that a guest has information pertinent to the topic being discussed, you can extend your privileges, and that's your entire speaking time. You do not get to speak, only they do. You can extend your privileges to them. There's another thing I noticed from the previous meeting, where there was and I think the last two meetings, there was what was called a call for division, and I think I just need to clarify the difference between a call for division and roll call voting. A call for division is done when you do not believe the votes were tallied properly, and you wish to see it voted, and that is done by rising vote, meaning that every time when I call someone's name, if you're a yes, you stand up, so you can clearly see who the majority is. What we do if you want to go person by person, yays and nays, as it sometimes is called, that's called roll call voting. Similar, can't interrupt me speaking. However, after the vote has been done and I've announced the results, that's for division. If the vote's been done, you can call for division. Before the vote happens, if you wish to do roll call voting, you motion for roll call voting. And that is then voted on. You vote as a council whether or not to do roll call voting. Division is not voted on. If anyone calls for division, it's done. It happens. So please don't abuse that. However, if you truly believe that the votes were not tallied properly or there was a mistake, you may call for division. Now, the one thing I wanted to go back to, just so everyone knows, we have a bit of a modified little debate here. Just to clarify, members who obtain the floor can only speak to a motion no longer than 4 minutes. I may limit that debate at any time on any order of the day. And you may not move the previous question at the same time as you speak to a motion. So if you wish to move a question, you have to wait until your speaking turn is up, and then when he comes back to you, you can then move the question. I can disallow that if I think that it hasn't been debated sufficiently. As well, you cannot provide subsidiary motions until it's spoken to at least two times, one in favor and one opposed. And if someone rises to a point of order, citing the violation of a federal, municipal, or provincial law, you must provide a copy of that law to me to present to council. Okay, so that's just a bit of a clarification review. Just wanted to go through that because there have been some issues that were brought up to me about how things were being done. I noticed a few things. So, the very last thing, that is something that we've kind of talked about at the very beginning of council when we first started, but I want to try and get more into, speaking through the speaker. So remember, when you're speaking in council in a parliamentary session, you speak to me, and then I will give the other person the floor. I kind of thought of a way to think about this today. Imagine it's elementary school, again, and you're mad at your friend, and you like when you didn't want to talk to them, you told your other friend to talk to them for you. Think of it like that. Okay? So you address me, I will then give that other person the floor. Any questions about anything I just talked about? Cool. So that will conclude speaker's business. Oh, forgot to do this. 2 seconds here, guys. We'll move into our presentations for today. We do have one presentation that has been motioned for today. RIPCA moves to present a sustainable capital plan. This presentation will highlight some key findings from our post-referendum survey from last year after the Students Events Initiative, as well as identify some potential paths forward. The Students' Union needs to find a sustainable way to mitigate the threat of deferred maintenance debt. The solution we must come to must strike balance between the long-term financial viability of the organization and students' needs, presented by Vice President RIPCA.
Point of order?
Yes.
Do we have to approve the agenda?
No, we don't have to approve the agenda in the Students' Council. Standing order state the agenda is approved as presented.
Point of order?
Yes.
Can we special order the late things onto this one?
Thank you very much. I will special order, that's my apologies. I will special order the items from the late additions onto the agenda. Anyways, yes, Governor Flynn.
I'm just going to second the presentation.
Okay, Governor Flynn seconds the presentation. Any opposition to receiving this presentation? All right. Mr. Ripka, you have 30 minutes.
Okay. You have the presentation up there.
I should have it on here.
Oh, okay. If it's not connected to the agenda, it's because I sent it to you like 5 minutes ago.
Okay. I'll check my email.
I'll second.
What's that?
I'll second.
Did you email it to me?
Yep.
Okay, I'll just look at the picture.
Thank you for coming out tonight. So today I'm going to give a brief presentation about capital planning and the Students' Union, a presentation called Finding a Sustainable Capital Plan for the UASU. And the main focus of this presentation is just to get feedback from you. So is there a clicker? Do you want to click?
I'll just let me know.
Okay, click please. So a brief outline to this presentation is I'm going to go through some background information. And then we're going to look at the Student Events Initiative survey results. And then we'll move on to some contextual considerations. That just means kind of what's going on in the world, the organization that should be involved when we look at this kind of capital planning issue. Then we'll narrow that down to the key issues. And then I've identified two potential solutions that I'm going to share with you today. And then finally, after that, I would like to hear everything that you have to say. So make sure to have your thinking on throughout this presentation. All right, so for some background, in March 2018, for those of you that weren't around or just weren't paying attention, the Students' Union ran a referendum called the Student Events Initiative. And so this was a referendum that was going for a $16 per semester fee. And this was for three different components. There was $100,000 allocated to student group granting for events. There was $100,000 that went to reduced tickets or free events for students. And then finally, the renovation of the Meyer Horwitz Theater. Now, unfortunately, this failed narrowly by 5% with approximately 44% in favor, 49% against, and 6 abstain, spoiled ballots or unmarked ballots. So just to clarify, some of you might wonder why do we need to renovate this theater in general? Well, it's more than just uncomfortable seats. There's also many accessibility issues to the theater, as well as a lot of the tech equipment has become so outdated that there's almost no point in trying to keep it up because maintenance costs are so expensive. So that's the main goal, trying to renovate the theater. And then in April 2018, we surveyed 1,904 students to try to gather feedback on what went wrong with this referendum and what we can do in the future. So, by the way, Levi, Governor Flamin, I'll be sending this presentation to all of council after, so you'll get your hands on this. So, out of these respondents, 58% voted in the election, and 34.6% didn't, 7.5% preferred not to stay. Out of those who voted, 36.2% voted in favor, 34% against, and 11.1% abstained, 17.5% preferred not to see. So here's some of the key findings. Bear with me about the text on the slide. I'll try to do as well as I can of explaining it, but there's a lot of data that was collected. So supporters thought the fee was reasonable. So this was a $16.50 fee, so they thought it was reasonable. Whereas on the other hand, those that didn't support the fee thought that it was too high. So 58.3% of them said that it was too high. Of the yes voters, 41.4% of them were in a student group, but then they only made up 16.9% of all of the respondents who voted in the election. So of the yes voters, they were in favor of all of the aspects of the Students Events Initiative by above 50%, with the most popular one being more events on campus. And then, so this is interesting. I found it particularly interesting because it said students who did not support the Students Events Initiative said that $12 per semester when presented with three different options was the most favorable. So the options were $12, that was only for the renovation of the theater. There was the current $16.50 fee that was all of those components, or there was a $19 fee option that was the same, except for instead of $100,000 in each pool, there was $200,000. So students who did not support SEI said the $12 was the most preferable option, which kind of makes sense because it's the least amount of money. But what I found specifically interesting is, next slide, 65% of no voters said the theater was the least appealing. So despite the fact that they said that that was the least appealing part, they would still vote for the $12 fee that was only the theater renovation, even though they didn't really support it. So what I take away from that is they don't really care what the fee is going towards, they just don't want to pay money. Moving on. To go back to that last point, they indicated that they did not use the theater and they wouldn't benefit from it. So key point there, because we're going to come back to that point. And so the most important part of this referendum was the student discount program. And so this is something to think of for the future. One bias that the survey might have found is that among the yes voters, there were an overrepresentation of individuals that were a part of a student group. So of course, if you have the opportunity for granting, you're gonna say that that's really important for you. And then finally, this is a pretty striking stat, and so it's 66.5% of SEI no voters said that they simply weren't aware of what the campaign was, which makes a lot of sense too. So that's a key takeaway that I'm taking in moving forward is not only do we need to consult with students to decide what they want, but it's really important that we communicate value to them because they don't care if they're paying $12 or, you know, $112, as long as they understand what they're paying for. So, moving on, we're going to pair that data with some current context information. So, for instance, SUB, it's important to remember, is not technically owned by the Students' Union. It's directly owned by the university, but they grant us owner-like privileges. So, this is all governed by a master agreement in which it dictates the different operational size of it, what the university does, and what the Students' Union does. And this is really, really important for us because it's a form of equity for us. We generate a lot of revenue through the businesses that we run in the Students' Union building, specifically tenant revenue from all of our food court tenants. Leon. And also just to remember, if ever the Students' Union wants to do a new project, something that's a lot of money, we directly consult our members through a referendum or plebiscite. Okay, and to set the stage of the greater University of Alberta community, the university currently has $1 billion in deferred maintenance debt. And that's a pretty great example of where the Students' Union does not want to be. So in order to avoid that, we're trying to be proactive in this. So that's why this conversation is happening now and maybe not in 10 years or 20 years, because we're trying to mitigate that issue. Also, interest rates right now are very low, but will probably go up in the future. And so it's important to kind of get on that as quick as possible. For those of you that don't really speak finance, that means that it's cheap to take loans right now. We don't have to pay a lot of money on them. And so it's important to take advantage of that. Also, since we're talking about the long term, we need to consider all aspects of this. So the viability of student fees and maybe reducing the students' union dependency on fees is pretty important. Currently, 25% of our revenue comes from student fees, but if we can focus on revenue-generating operations, such as the theater, that would be great. And speaking of that, Meyer-Horowitz Theater generates revenue to fund services. So this is that key point that I was talking about in the stat. A lot of students go, oh, well, I don't use the theater, and so like, why would I want to pay for it? But what is very important as counselors that you remember is that the theater generates revenue to then fund services like the Peer Support Center or Week of Welcome. So it's a pretty integral service that, or kind of business operation that we offer. And then finally, the UASU desires to use the Meyer-Horowitz Theater more for student events. Currently, it's so expensive to rent, particularly because overhead costs and operational costs are really expensive, but we hope that the renovation reduces those costs and we can give a kind of discounted price to student groups so that it can become a hotspot for student life on campus. So that brings us to the question of how can the UASU sustainably mitigate the threat of deferred maintenance in the long term while thriving in the short term? No simple, simple endeavor. However, I've come up with two potential fee ideas that I'm going to bounce off of you, and then you can tell me what you think. So keep thinking. We're almost there. All right, so the first one is a Your Sub fee. This is a fee paid by students used for renovations and capital projects. So whether this be renovation of a theater or more art on the walls or a food court renovation or more electrical outlets or a greenhouse on Sub. Mark didn't want me to mention that, but I think or whatever students want, this would be long-term planning so that if there was this fee that was levied on students, we could have a predictable revenue stream coming in specifically for maintenance and future projects. So taking a look at some of the advantages, well, look at that. First thing, long-term sustainable capital plan. So that deals with our main issue. A specific scope. So some of the feedback we also generated through that survey after the SEI was that there was, you know, the renovation, the granting, the ticket program, and it was just too much. Students didn't really understand. Whereas if we were to pitch this in a referendum question, it would be like, this is for renovations in Sub, and people would be like, okay. So it's a specific scope, easily digestible. Donor support is likely. If students say that they want improvements to the building, there's probably going to be donors that say, oh, we want to support students, so we'll support them and then kind of share the cost that way. And then this also helps us in the branding of the SU is run by students for students or for students by students because they take ownership in their building. Taking a look at some of the disadvantages, it unfortunately doesn't affect students who don't use Sub. So if you're a student at Campus Saint-Jean, you're like, I'm not in Sub very often, why would I vote in favor of this fee if I'm not going to take advantage of it? And it can't be used for projects outside of Sub. This is particularly an issue when it comes to Dewey's, because Dewey's is in the power plant, so if ever we wanted to renovate that, that would be out of the mandate of this fee. So that's some of the disadvantages. Moving on to option two, it's similar, but this is what we call the student spaces fee, and it's a fee that will become a student-controlled fund used for non-academic spaces around campus. So it's similar to the first one, but it just extends around campus. The key here is that it's non-academic. So we would put this money to fund like lounges or different spaces that students could just use to increase their quality of life on campus. So some advantages of this, which are pretty great, of course, sustainable capital plan, it's a predictable revenue. So what this would do is assist the university with their deferred maintenance problem. $1 billion is a lot of money, and something tells me that their priority is not going to be a student lounge when the plumbing is crumbling or when the electrical system is no longer working. So they need to deal with the very important systems first and then move to academic spaces. Student life would kind of be left out of the picture on the list of priorities. So if we come together and take care of the student-oriented spaces, they could then focus on the academic parts. Another advantage is all students can benefit from it. So this is not limited to Sub specifically. It could be all of our campuses, if we'd like that also. And also, it spreads value of the UASU around campus. So a big thing, a perpetual struggle is trying to communicate what the students' union does. But if you can imagine, you know, a student lounge that is branded with the flame in CSIS, people would be like, that's a great flame. I wonder what that means, you know? Just getting awareness out there, it's very, very important, particularly in regards to what I was talking about with the viability of student fees. Communicating our values, very important. And finally, some disadvantages of this. It's a more general scope, although, you know, arguably not that much more general, but that might convolute the question a little bit. There's greater communication barriers because when you talk to students about this that kind of don't understand the issue, they will complain about their labs or they will complain about their lecture theaters and how they're not lit properly, but that those are academic spaces and we would be focused primarily on student-oriented spaces or non-academic spaces. And then finally, maybe a disadvantage, maybe an advantage is although students would have autonomy over the funds, they don't have the autonomy to do anything they want on campus because there's a lot of kind of collaboration with the university that would need to happen. I'm sure some of you would see that as an advantage because, you know, having a strong partnership like with the university would potentially be great, but just to keep that in mind. So those are the two ideas that we've come up with, but I hope that you have ideas too. And if you do, now's the time. If you have any questions, now's the time, and feedback in general is greatly appreciated.
We have 15 minutes remaining for questions. You can just hit your buttons and we'll do this just like you normally do. So I can hear you 2 seconds, guys.
So when do you anticipate the rollout of this, either of those two ideas? Would it be for the upcoming year?
Yes, we would go to a referendum in February, March.
In February, okay. And how are we going to mitigate what happened last year? So for example, is our student going to be, is the input of students going to be considered in the idea formation of these plans, for example?
Yes, of course. And that's why I'm coming to council as the first step in the consultation process, because you're the representatives of your constituencies. So coming to you first. And then everything, okay, back up here. I feel like what happens often is, you know, you create a plan and then you become obsessed with the plan. You're like, this plan is my baby. And so like, I'm going to consult with people, but I'm not actually going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the goal here. The goal is to form the plan via or along with the consultation, so taking it bit by bit and making the plan stronger. So essentially what I kind of have in mind right now is I'm going to take your feedback tonight. I'm going to probably send you a survey after. Actually, I will send you a survey after. It will be 3 questions. Please answer it. And then take that into consideration. Maybe tonight we decide one of the options is best. And then from there, I'm going to, you know, continue with consultation via council, and then also create like a campaign team of students that would do the campaign with me. So yes, we would be constantly doing that.
Hey, sorry, can I keep asking questions or not?
This is up to the presenter.
Okay.
Sure, one more.
Okay, wonderful. And I would say most of us here fall under like the yes category, because like most of us are like involved in like student groups and whatnot, so we see the value in this. So I get that consultation with student representatives is good, but like what about like the larger student body is what I'm trying to get at, like the people who wouldn't know and are not involved in events and stuff like that. So how are we going to get their input?
Yes, totally. So first of all, I totally agree with you about like the involved kids being, you know, the most opinionated. And the thing when it comes to general voters, what we saw with the SEI last year is automatically, if you're not in a student group, you don't really care. So that's a problem with the referendum question is, if we're asking for every student to pay $16, it better affect every student. So with these plans, they're more of just like a general space and capital investment plans. It has a potential to affect every student, whether you go to class, go to the library, go home, or whether you're in 10 student groups. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is, again, it kind of depends on the question that we choose. So if you're like, nah, Emma, I want the SEI 2.0, the exact same thing, I think, I'm confident that we could pass that. But what matters then is that we consult with student groups, because they're the ones that are using the theater. They're the ones that would be using the granting. You know, so I think that maybe last year they didn't do enough of that. So it'll all depend on what the question is. But finally, to answer that last part of how to just talk to random students, we have many methods. A good one is just coffee incentivized surveys via email, or I could just walk out to Dewey's and plunk myself down and talk to a random student, you know? So we'll try some different methods. But thank you for your questions.
Of course.
Thank you, Councillor Miley. We'll now go to Councillor Kovas.
Hi, thanks for your presentation. I'm a Student Interventionist Initiative no voter, so I'm just wondering, what fee are you, like, what's the fee on both of these plans? Are you looking more towards the $12 or back towards that $16? Because I know it doesn't have the granting, but it's also, you're talking about a bunch of different spaces on campus, and I know that as a students' union, kind of the priority is the Meyer Horowitz Theater. So I'm just kind of wondering where the priorities lie and what the cost is around these two fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cost is always the question, but at this point we don't really know what it is, because, you know, it depends whether we take this option or this option or maybe a third one that we haven't even discussed yet. So if it's specifically for sub, it's going to be a different fee than it would be for the rest of campus. Mm-hmm. I'm of the opinion that lower fees are better. Some of the executive team think that if it's attached to value, higher fees could be saleable too, which proved to be true at UBC because they just got a new gorgeous students union building and they pay like, what, $120 a semester?
Semester.
It's like a massive fee, and they voted yes, just because their campaign was killer and they understood that they were gonna get value and did get value out of it. So too early to say, but as we narrow down our options, we'll do the calculations along with the, you know, forecasting, and I'll let you know.
Thank you, Councillor Kovas. We'll now go to Councillor Lee.
Thanks for that presentation. That was great. And overall, I think especially the student spaces fee idea seems amazing. But I just have one more specific, perhaps, question here. So I was wondering if you could tell us anything about the survey methodology, because I just noticed that you said 58% of respondents actually voted in the election, but I believe that the turnout was about 23%.
Yeah.
So obviously the sample here is a lot more involved in governance than the average student on campus. So I was just wondering how you think that might influence or bias the results, and if you think that's an issue.
Yes, okay, great question, thank you. So first thing I'd like to say is I condensed 35 pages of our report on all of this data into two slides. So I didn't mention everything, obviously. And in the report, they do a really thorough breakdown of the methodology, including any potential biases that would result from kind of like those kind of skewed situations. And we can share that with you. So in my email, you will find that report, along with a three-question survey, which you will all fill out, and my presentation, and that'll come tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Next, we have Councillor Stapp.
All right, thank you for your presentation. So I just have a couple points, which I'll really quickly go through. Firstly, just with regards to the survey, you had mentioned there's a few different options students got, and for the majority of them, they chose the naysayers, chose the $12 one because you had assumed it was the cheapest. My question with that first part was, did every option include the theater? And if that's the case, would perhaps if you had higher costs but no theater options, so students felt it was specifically going into the pools, if maybe you think they would have said yes?
Yeah, perhaps.
And then the second portion of it is, and unfortunately, thinking maybe an interesting approach would be to keep two maintenance options as a more general rather than specifically for the theater or for the stuff. So you have a portion that's SU-specific maintenance fees, so we can allocate it as needed in our spaces,
mm-hmm.
but still have that pool for faculties,
mm-hmm.
faculty associations at Grant Pool. And then that way we're giving them power to do renovations in student spaces and in our areas. And I think the advantage of that is each faculty association has their own specific understanding of their students. And when students vote for it, they might actually feel like there's a chance that they personally will be impacted
mm-hmm.
in a positive way rather than a theater or a larger sort of general thing. They'll think, oh, well, you know, BSA or Oasis, they might do something in my area that helps me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the faculty associations might just be able to use the funds really well that way.
Okay.
So that was my second piece.
Yeah, no, that's great feedback. Thank you very much.
Next up, we have Councillor Rizzi.
Hello. Well, I think Councillor Stats, feedback kind of answered my question a bit, maybe. My question was specifically about the second option, the student spaces one.
Mm-hmm.
My question was, how would the SU kind of prioritize which faculty associates? Because you mentioned CSIS, right? And that's mainly kind of a hub for, science students. So
mm-hmm.
what if, the engineering students wanted something in
yeah.
ETLC? Or, how would you kind of decide where?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That also is not decided yet, which is really, really exciting. And I would love to hear about any ideas, whether it's faculty associations or, we could hold a contest for who's the most participatory faculty association. I don't know. But what I would guess is it would be more in collaboration with the university. We actually met with them today and they were talking about their future plans for renovations of different buildings and how there are spots on campus that aren't utilized thoroughly right now or to their highest potential or whatever, which would be great for us because if there's a spot in this random building that's kind of weird and no one uses the building because there's nowhere to just chill, that would be excellent for us to use. So that would be my guess, but it is not decided yet. So
thank
yeah.
you.
Councillor Riggs.
Yes, I'm a big fan of this student-oriented spaces stuff, but I have two questions. I guess the first one is no longer a question because Councillor Lay was able to cover that, but I just like to reinforce that maybe after looking at the report, my opinion will change, but the fact that the voter turnout represented in the survey itself was so much higher than that, I feel like there's a large proportion of students that are being carried over, but I'm just saying that right now. Maybe the report will change my mind. The second one is just a smaller question that I think would just be good for you to draw out a comparison to what the engagement for the SEI looked like last year to what's been going on so far and what will continue to go on. I'd just like you to speak to that.
Yeah, I might call on General Manager Mark to help, but as for right now, my plan, as I mentioned before, is I want strong students to just come and help. I would love this to be a proposition that's hey, you want to run a marketing campaign? You get to do that, and I'll put it on your resume, and I'll be your reference. Because I think if students take it into their own hands and work with us, it's a lot more organic. They know what they want and what's hip. I might not know what's hip because I'm, working in an office over there. So I'm kind of working with students to develop a campaign along with everything from social media to swag that we give out to one-on-ones to class talks, all of that. I would develop it with that team. And then we go on from there. That's probably aiming to be around, I think applications would open mid-October. And then by end of October, we would decide on that. From what I've heard, I think last year is just someone needs to be very, very committed to this, and I would be very committed to this. So, did I miss anything there?
First, on the, I'm going to ask you to repeat your question in a second. On the first part about the validity of the survey, I understand that when we asked the survey, we were asking about SEI. So, the fact that there was a higher proportion of voters than there were of the population. I feel that really impacts it. The true indicator is how close were the yes and no votes among the survey respondents to the actual results, and they were reasonably close. It's not perfect, but they were reasonably close. Now, Stephen, can you repeat your question?
VP Rick has done a really good job of explaining it so far, but maybe you could go into greater detail about the timelines that were being worked on for the SEI for the engagement that occurred last year compared to what's occurring right now and what will be occurring into the future.
So like, when was the first time that SEI came to council last year? How many times did it come forward? What other engagement techniques were used throughout the campaign compared to what's planned for this year?
I would say that last year, we started talking with council about it in the fall, not this early, but in the fall. And I would say it kind of, the consultation that they wanted to do in advance, the amount they wanted to do just didn't come through. And we've focused really heavily on that. I've certainly had a lot of chats with Emma about the importance of that. And I think that Emma will be able to pull it together like she said. And I think it's up to, one of the reasons we're here is because as we move forward with this, you know, you're the representatives of students. And what you guys think and you getting feedback from your constituents is a really important piece. I also want to say, and can I respond to that?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Okay, yeah.
We don't know an exact number. We are really trying to keep it low. There is some discussion in the exec about how to go, and a lot of it depends on when we go out and ask students. What I'm really actually excited about is that you guys are interested in there seems to be a lot of people interested in this general student spaces fee idea. Mm-hmm. That's really encouraging, but that taking that feedback will integrate into the first iteration of us going out and consulting with students. That changes the questions that we ask students. And that will have a direct impact on the amount of the fee and how we propose to deliver value to students. So that's why we can't answer that dollar figure thing right now. If it was just about the sub package, I could probably give you a ballpark. But if we're talking about that bigger one, I have no idea at this point.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We actually have only 10 seconds left. There's currently 9 people on it. Trevor Flannan.
Can I extend another 15 according to Sandals?
Sandals actually doesn't say how much you have to do. You can choose whatever time period you would like. 15 minutes is usually what it is for open forum question period. And after this, you can choose.
Yeah, I'll give another 15 minutes.
Motion to extend by 15 minutes. There's a second for this motion. Vice President Bourgeois. Well, I'll just do this by placards. All in favor?
Yeah.
All opposed? Motion carried, extended by 15 minutes. Reset this. 15 minutes starts now. Next up we have Trevor Flannan.
Thank you for the presentation. A lot of cool numbers, a lot of good data in there, which I have a greater appreciation for starting in management science 312 this term. One of the numbers that I felt the most striking was the most favorable 41.7% thought the $12 for just the renovation fee. Because if I remember right, and Mark correct me if I'm wrong, the project initially was just about the theater. So when I got on board with the steering committee and, theater. And then it was part of the renovation or the new catering kitchen from Express, because bigger, more effective kitchen, more revenues. Yeah, more revenue. And then we went from catering kitchen and theater to the renovated and more conference rooms in the basement, and then the north exit where the alumni room is, and then the grants and this and that. So what started out as just the theater, which was kind of sorely needed, ballooned into this big project. So even at the outset, I was staunchly yes. And when it came time for the vote, I was still yes, but very narrowly, it could have swung either way. So I was as surprised as anyone to say it was that close. But I think, like you touched upon too, where a lot of students are looking at the price tag attached to it, where they're focused on the price of something. Well, this costs $15, that's too much, I don't want to pay it. And I guess as a fellow business student, we should be trying to show the value of it. Because one of the numbers that came out of it was, I don't go to the theater, I'm not going to benefit of it, and just like you said, services like InfoLink, we've run a loss every year because we sell all of our tickets at cost, we don't mark them up any that I know of. So we're providing all these knowing that we're going to get the money back from our businesses. So yes, they're not going to shows in the theater, they're not benefiting in that way, but lo and behold, they're if they do come to us for directions or to get their UPass, they are getting benefit. They just apparently did not know that. And so that's something we can and should be doing a better job of. And then as far as the your sub and student spaces fee, initially I was more in favor of the your sub just because we seemed like we would have a lot more control over it. But when somebody, and it might have been you actually, when you say, when you renovate a space and you have the SU flame on it, the thing that initially popped into my head was the space over at Van Vliet where you have the SU and the GSA lounges. And if we could have one of those in like fine arts or humanities, ETLC, CSIS, some kind of partnership or something with the FAs where we'll renovate this nice space for you, similar to how I think Oasis kind of administrates the fishbowl, where we'll renovate the space, we'll deck it up with furniture and stuff, and what you want to do is up to you. So we don't have autonomy over the space, but kind of in a roundabout way we do, sort of. And I had some other things, but now my thoughts are scattered, so I might come back.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you for all of that. Honestly, that is the kind of feedback we need. So if people have thoughts, definitely share them, but they don't have to be all that positive, too. You can be negative. You can poke some holes. That's also very, very helpful. But thank you, Governor Flatman.
Councilor Beeman.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm not going to be the one who pokes holes, unfortunately. I'm just going to praise you for a while. I'm like genuinely excited about a campaign now in March, so looking forward to it. But actually, I wanted to say it was good. Somebody asked my question, but I wanted to just reinforce that. State that of the two, I probably like the second one a bit more. And that's just coming mainly as an art student, where some of the buildings that we have are not totally loved by all the population in the Faculty of Arts. So just thinking like how potentially the SU and university teaming up to deal with all those things might be a really positive and efficient way of fixing some of the problems. So that's those are my thoughts, and thank you very much.
Perfect, thank you. That's great to hear.
Now we'll go to Councilor Agarwal.
Cool, thank you so much for the presentation. It's really, really good. I'm a big fan of this. I think it's a great idea. Personally, I would like to have a garden. Some kind of greenhouse and stuff, that'd be pretty cool.
I exist to serve.
I did have a couple questions, and I think most of them were answered. I just want to reiterate what Councilor Ray was saying about the response rates from the previous ones that went through. You may want to consider something like the Dillman response rate. It's a methodology for increasing response rates. I'm not sure what you did in the past or what has been done, but this is more for later on. But my question regarding the student spaces fee, I'm not quite clear about this. So what defines non-academic spaces? And is there a need for more spaces on campus? If you could talk on that a bit.
Okay, yeah, thank you. That is a great question. In fact, that is a question that I asked to the facility and operations people today, is I was like, at what point does a library go from being an academic space to being a student-oriented space or just a student life space? Because the lines blur, certainly, and essentially the answer they gave was like, the lines blur. I'm like, oh, hell no. Thank you. So I'm not positive yet. I'm hoping to maybe track down a definition that would give us a better idea specifically for our campaign and trying to sell this to students. Do you have anything?
They go green with the process be heading in. It is a really tough question. University has three categories. Office administrative. No, we're not paying for that. Academic, and the reason we have like that actually would have a lot of support from students, I believe. The problem is that's a $1 billion deficit. Secondly, it's been funded by the government, and we believe as a policy matter, it should continue to be funded by government. And then the third category is other. And one of the things we have to do is define what that means, because other would be residence spaces, it would be other things like that. We, for ourselves, in the process over the next 6 months, are going to have to define what student spaces means and what that kind of covers. Because to be honest, we also don't want to
we don't want whatever we do to become, we want to limit it to an extent so it doesn't become a backdoor form of tuition. So there is a risk there for students. But I think we think that there's a lot of opportunity as well, particularly to get student priorities on the table in a way that they aren't currently.
Yeah, exactly. And to answer the last part of your question there, is there a need for more student spaces? Anecdotally, I would say yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to Cameron Library, but it's like, ugh, it's like so many people everywhere and it's just disaster. Or just kind of any building you go to, it's hard to find spots to eat lunch, it's hard to find spots to just study and hang out with friends. So I would say anecdotally, but that's a really good point, and I think that's something that we could consult with students, you know, if they had, you know, a certain amount of money, what would they do to it with it, and where would they like to see these spaces happen, that kind of thing. So thanks for that.
Councilor Anderson.
I was just curious if your plan, primarily more the second one, is including Augustana in the fees, and if so, benefits in any way.
That's a great question, and I'm glad that you asked, because I was thinking about that, and I don't know yet. Again, it's still in such preliminary stages that we haven't made a decision, but that is definitely something that we would work with you and like the Augustana Students Association to decide what they want. If they don't want, if they do consultation and students there overwhelmingly do not want to support this, I think that they could be opt out in, like the kind of, we have a sub-atrium fee currently that they're not a part of, that you're not a part of, right? Because it makes sense, you don't come to sub. So that's something that we could definitely discuss. As for right now, would you be in support of it? If we allocated maybe a percentage based on student like bodies to Augustana, would you be in favor of that? Sorry to put you on the spot also, you can be like, pass.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it and talk with people more. I'd be curious what others thought.
Yeah, and I guess for all the Augustana people here, if we do go ahead with the student-oriented spaces, campuses-wide thing, think about how you would like to be involved with that process, how much money you would want, what the logistics would look like, because we could definitely meet about that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Andrews.
Hello, thanks for the presentation. I have 2 points, mainly. First one, sort of echoing that, like, for CSGA students, like, yes, CSGA students use sub, like, of course, we're here sometimes. But would CS, like, if it was for the year sub plan, would CSGA students or student groups receive granting for events if maybe they didn't want to hold them in sub? Like, would they receive the granting for, like, stuff they want to do on campus? Or even would it be cheaper for them if they, like, didn't want to hold the event in sub?
First thing to clarify, this your sub fee does not include any granting. It is just a fee paid for specifically sub-renovation projects or just new capital projects. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing I'll say is just kind of, I'm sure it's gonna, I would echo what I said about Augustana. It's a little bit more gray because it's like, oh, some of them are North Campus students but then take class there, whereas others are mostly there and then just come here. So that would be something that we would decide based on the type of fee.
Yeah, and I don't, like, know what people would think about it. Like, I honestly cannot say. Mm-hmm. But the second point was, so you said that the most wanted option was a $12 option. Was there, like, so you said you had 3 options. Mm-hmm. Did preference go from, like, cheapest to highest?
Yes.
Okay, so I feel like that says that students want the cheaper option. And the people who do see the value, they see the value. But the people who don't, I don't think they will or ever will. Mm-hmm. So would the SU consider using, like, having a lower fee for just the student group granting first and then seeing how that goes? And if that's successful and if people enjoy that, then maybe considering doing the theater renovations at a higher fee later on. Like, I know that's not ideal for the theater, but I feel like more people would jump on board because of it. Like, it would be cheaper than doing the theater first.
Yeah. That's like a complicated question specifically because I think the reason that we added the student group granting to the theater renovation is just to, like, to sweeten the medicine, you know what I mean? Like, because if you don't use the theater, you would automatically say no, but then we added the granting and it's like, oh, maybe they want the granting, so they'd say yes, which ultimately just got a little bit too complicated. I would say we wouldn't do that this year just because the main issue is deferred maintenance and, you know, collecting fees to give to granting is amazing, but maybe someone, a future VPSL, can run on that idea. Yeah. But yeah, did I answer everything?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. For the next person, I just wanted to say, I see the game has requested a question. If you have a question, please save it for open forum. Next up, we'll go to Councilor Sunday.
I just had a feedback. I just wanted to say, regardless of the fee type, for myself, and I'm sure a lot of the people in my faculty, they would probably only support such a fee if it was opt-outable by students. And for myself, I would only support the fee if students could opt out of it. That's my only feedback.
Yes.
We'll go to...
Can I just speak back to that? Mark?
You know, I think that's would be great. I would love to make capital fees opt-outable, but when you engage on large capital projects, you take out loans, they have a fixed payback, and that's how we set the fees. So I'm not gonna sugarcoat things. It would be great to do that, but that will probably not be the fee.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'll go to Councilor Palmer.
Hi, thanks for your presentation. I don't feel like I have all of the information, so I don't know if I'll be more informed when I receive your report and email and all that. But what's concerning to me is maybe I'm not understanding this, so you can clarify. But are you trying to pick, is the idea to pay back $1 billion by 1650 fees per student, like, because I feel like we're way behind on that part. And then I wasn't sure also about and I forget where this was, I think you were talking about accessibility and technical services, the reasoning behind the theater being upgraded, which in my experience I've only seen dance competitions and other things there. So I'm not sure how $200,000 gets to the student granting groups, but have you considered maybe using 90% of those to kind of counter the $1 billion deficit that we have? I'm having some trouble taking pieces.
There's like a lot of moving parts here.
Just so you know, we have run out of time. I'll let you respond.
Okay.
We have run out of time. There's three people left on the speaking list, all of which have already asked a question. So let us just rip it, speak, and then perhaps we will extend if you guys
wish. 2 seconds. And the other revenue sources, like, do we not get additional grants and things like that, or consider maybe students fundraising for themselves for their things, or other grants or federal provincial sort of things to help with that?
Yeah. Well, all right. Thanks for your question. To clarify everything, so first of all, the $1 billion in deferred maintenance is not the SU's, not the Students' Union, that is the University of Alberta. And that money needs to come from the government of Alberta, but it hasn't been in recent years, in years and years and years. So that's the $1 billion. That is not our debt to pay. Don't worry about that. The 1650 was last year's question, and that was the renovation of the theater, student group, $100,000 in student group granting, and $100,000 that went to reduce ticket prices. So if you were going to see a concert, maybe instead of $15 because you're a student union member, a student, you get it for $5 or something like that. So that's all last year, and that's what failed. And that's why we're like, why did it fail? And then that's where all the data came from about that. In regards to your second point about maybe other revenue generating sources, the big thing that we're trying to do here is create a predictable and sustainable plan. So grants are great because it's free money, and who doesn't love free money? But they're not always certain. So we could apply for grants because we're a not-for-profit organization, but maybe 1 year it'll be there, and then the next year it won't, which we can't really take the this gamble on when we're dealing with millions of dollars in a capital project such as renovating the theater or renovating the food court, if that makes sense. But yes.
Okay.
So.
Is there any motions to extend to the floor?
Yeah, I move to extend. I think it's a very important topic and we should discuss.
Okay, is there a second for that motion? So Councillor Cunard first.
How long?
How long would you like to extend by, Councillor Lee?
Well,
we only have two people on the speaking list right now.
Okay, let's just say 10 minutes, but then we can obviously stop at the end.
Okay. Motion to extend by 10 minutes. All those in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We are extended by 10 minutes. First up, we have Councillor Lee.
Yes, you may have wondered why I was so excited. Okay, so I mean, this is a bit more of a general point and less a specific question, but maybe something to just keep in mind. So while I do really like the concept of the student spaces fee, to my understanding, the deferred maintenance and kind of the just quality of building experience that students have on campus varies widely depending on the faculty they're in. So, like in arts, there are no new or relatively modern buildings, which are mostly used by art students. Whereas in sciences, BioSci sucks, but other than that, it's not too bad. And BioSci is, I understand, like sooner on the university's renovation plans than anything in arts. In engineering, most of the buildings are pretty nice, and there's like beautiful study spaces and higher floors and dice, things like that. So what I'm concerned about is that if the money that was raised for student spaces was used more evenly between faculties, then there would be many faculties receiving this money that did not really have an equal need, where their spaces were already good. On the other hand, if the money was put where it would be the most optimally used, where the spaces were the lowest quality, I'm concerned that if this was a referendum, that this might be perceived as a subsidy for arts from engineering and science students. So I do think, and well, obviously as an art student, I think that would be fantastic. I do think it would be good maybe to, when we go out and consult on this, to make sure that the consultation would be broken down at least sometimes in a faculty by faculty area, or to see how students on different parts of campus feel about this specifically, and make sure that kind of the message we want to send can be tailored to any feedback we get back from that, and seeing how the proposal can maybe be changed to deal with concerns that come up with that. To make sure that doesn't become an issue. But yeah, that's just a thought. I don't really have a specific question.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you so much. That's great. Yeah, those are totally valid concerns and absolutely great ideas for consultation. I think faculty specific is definitely the way to go. So thank you.
Councillor Stan.
Thank you. I promise I won't ask as many questions this time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to mention this, but I think just sort of tying into that point, I think maybe a good solution is instead of giving each faculty money, we have a pool and we ask them to basically do something similar to a request for proposals. So they tell us why they need it and they give a good reason and they'll get it. And that might not always go to engineering just because they do have much better facilities, but they could still get it if they have a good enough reason.
Yeah.
And I think that would go to the executive team or even council to vote on. And then the second point I was going to make is I know you mentioned something about, and this was a while ago, marketing, volunteering for the pushing this through.
Yeah.
And I understand now, well, except for my new fellow counselor back there, I was the only business counselor now with Connor Dayton. But I would like to kind of extend my support for closer to the time going around maybe with you to the business faculty. I know a number of people on the FA there and various other clubs, and I think I'd probably be able to find some marketing students that'd be more than willing to help you out with that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, that is super, super helpful. To your first point, I kind of, that's in an ideal world sort of how I would do it. Have faculty associations or just general students write in like their ideas for the space and how they would use it, why they would use it, and then probably take that into consideration along with what the university has to offer. Because like I said, with the autonomy piece, we can't just be like, we're going to renovate this space because it doesn't necessarily belong to us. But that's a really good point. And thank you so much for the support. That's really, really exciting. And doesn't really matter the faculty. Like, if you see people within your faculty that are motivated, creative, you know, whatever, kind of seem like they would fit a marketing position or are keen to be involved in the student union, keep an eye out, because I will be recruiting marketers. So thank you.
Councilor.
So buildings. I'm wondering if that's students' responsibilities to be funding capital projects going towards buildings, or is that the university's responsibility? Because we've been floating ideas of like humanities needing work, and I'm like here for it, but I'm like, is that supposed to be coming out of our pockets or what?
Mm-hmm. That is a great question. So I've thought about that a lot too, specifically in coming up with these two ideas. To me, it comes down to like an is-ought situation. Like, should the university be paying? Probably, because it's their facilities and it's their problem that there's deferred maintenance. But is that the case? Are they paying for it? No. So we could either sit around and be like, wow, I have nowhere to eat lunch, or we could like try to make it better. And the students' union mandate is to enhance student life, so I would say that it is, you know, us as a collective organization to fund spaces like that, specifically student-oriented spaces. Thanks.
Thank you. That's dead right. That is the absolute policy conundrum that an idea like this presents. We want to be able, the university has to maintain those academic spaces for them, for themselves. What this would do, the idea behind the Student Spaces Initiative is it would help fill the gap that the university cannot in addressing those non-academic spaces that are supportive of student success and of student life in general. What that means, that's why that definitional question that was asked earlier is so important for us to talk about and figure out. But no, students shouldn't be paying for a new humanities center, even though humanities center is getting a little old. It was new when I started, and that was a long time ago. So I think that's absolutely a fantastic question. I also want to point out that whatever we do, whatever amount, if Emma and the executive and council decide to pursue the second option, whatever the amount we pick, it's going to be a small amount. In the context of the $1 billion, it's a small amount. It's going to be making those little incremental changes that will make it easier for the university. It will ease the university's ability to address other deferred maintenance needs. But it's not going to be a magic bullet. We have to be realistic about it. But it would make a real difference in the quality of student life. And that would be one of the key criteria. So that's all.
Hi, I just wanted to say, by the general feedback, I think most of us really like the second option, and I really like the second option. I think that he just spoke to it. I don't think we're renovating any buildings. I think we're going to put some couches up and say, the Students' Union did this. Appreciate it. but I just did have one question. Kind of from what I remember about the Student Events Initiative, there was kind of a thing like this has to pass and then we get this much donor support. And I was just wondering how the donor support kind of works for something that's like this long-term and not as we're getting a theater built. Like, do you know what I mean? Like something that is so long-term. Mm-hmm. Is donor support something that's going to go into this fee as well? Mm-hmm. And if you could just talk to that and then hopefully we can wrap things up.
I'll give this a little try and then maybe Mark can answer. Yes, long term it's really, really hard to plan for that, but what I think is our procedure is we'll always seek donor support. You know, in any project that we do, we'll try to help the weight or the tax put on, burden put on students with the donor support, because it just makes sense, and we have a lot of committed donors, so if students are in favor, generally they are too. I don't know how that works with the theater renovation for me, but...
Well, there's two ways in which we can address donors. First, we can still offer them enhancements. So if you really want this to be great, here's what you can help us fund, this little extra piece that we want. We can name this after you, that kind of thing. and then that reduces the burden on students and enables us to do more. And donors will buy into that. The second thing that we can do with it is it enables us to broaden how we appeal to donors. So we're not just appealing to them for capital, because that is our, because we don't, can't, we've got no other option. We can also appeal to them to support some of the programming that we do, which would be fantastic for extending the breadth of what we can do on campus for students.
We only have 30 seconds left, and we have one person that's on the speaking list as of right now.
I just go so fast.
Are you gonna, can you ask in 30 seconds?
I just have feedback. Okay. So, moving forward, I think if you're going with the student-oriented spaces line of things, that definitely locks the SU into providing those spaces or being at the forefront of the providing those spaces. So I think there should just be a lot of thought about that and seeing if there's any advocacy that can be done to encourage the university to do that first. But overall, I think just echoing Councillor Kobus's point, it would be really great if the SU could be the hero and be out in the community putting in those spaces. And so I think that's why this is a really great opportunity to move forward on. And when we talk about that lack of engagement that we have with students, oftentimes this is the great way to be the hero in the community. And also I would anticipate that alumni might support this more so, because alumni have experiences all over campus. It may not just be exclusively tied to what is in sub. So that might be another opportunity. The last thing, I think this would really take a lot of like checks and balances for when the fee would be rolled out, to ensure that if we're going with this wide sort of approach, kind of echoing what Councillor Lay said, that it's used equitably, it's used fairly, and it's being used for what students want to see. And I totally used more than 30 seconds, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councillor Reyes, and thank you, Councillor Reyes, for your presentation. All right, that is all we have for presentations as of today. I don't think there's any additions. No, there is not. All right, we'll now move into the Executive Committee reports. Is there any members of the Executive wishing to make a report? We'll begin with Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Had a good week of welcome. Just a couple of extra things I wanted to add to my report. Last week, we were visited by NDP MLA Thomas Dang, who we took for a tour around Wild Village and the Beer Gardens. Great and enjoyed. He is a U of A alum, as well as Alberta Party leader Stephen Mendel, who came as well. Had some great conversations with him, actually, as well. We have lost our dear Fahim Rahman. He has gone back to law school in New Brunswick, and we miss him very much. But on the plus side, we do have a new director of research and advocacy and a external advocacy advisor. So we're very happy to have them on board. On a CASA note, we had our board meeting today. I will be leading the push in the renegotiation with Quebec Students Union on the partnership agreement with CASA. That's very exciting to continue what I consider to be a very broad national advocacy effort. sorry, I had a problem with my throat. Elections Canada reached out to us already to book rooms for the October 2019 federal election. We have those rooms booked. There will be polling on campus for the federal election in 2019. I'm ecstatic about that. Also reached out to Elections Alberta. They are very happy to help with that as well at the provincial election in the spring. Finally, I'm trying to figure out a way to approach office hours a little bit differently, and so that executives can engage students a little bit better. So whether that's doing it in the office online, on different parts of campus, and how we do that so that students can come to us and just chat with us a little bit more regularly in office hours, I'm looking for any and all feedback on that, so please do not hesitate to message me or give me feedback any way you see fit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. We'll now go to Vice President Banagher.
Thank you. So I have three extra things to report other than external to what I did in my report. So this Thursday, as everyone knows, we'll be hosting the first annual Be Booksmart Fair. It'll be in Sub-Atrium from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I highly encourage all of you as elected representatives to show up for 5 to 10 minutes, talk to a few students, and check out what the event is. We'd also love your feedback post-event, so you can't do the survey unless you come to the event, obviously, so please show up. ARC is doing a town call on September 27th, similar times, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a drop-in style. We will be putting out an agenda and doing a marketing campaign for the town hall next week, so stay tuned for that. And on a fun note, I will be in a dunk tank tomorrow at 11:30 for the Engineering Student Society. Please come check it out. VP Brown will be at noon. So please come check it out in the engineering quad. I'm pretty scared. Thanks.
It's going to be a chilly one.
Thank you, Vice President Bandegar. We'll now go to Vice President Bourgeois.
Hello. I will not be in the dunk tank. I don't do well in the cold. Like, actually, I have a condition. So in my report, there are two things that have happened that are super exciting. One, I received an email from the Associate Dean Health and Wellness in the Office of the Dean of Students. They are looking for students who would be interested in serving on a student panel. It's entitled Student Stories and Panel Discussion. It is related to mental health. So if you have experience on campus, like struggling with mental health, with working with the mental health system, or are interested in any way at all, it's great. The conference will be awesome. Please reach out to me, and I'll also send a thing in the council chat. And second, the Newton Place Residents Association. Now, I thought this didn't exist until yesterday. I got an email from two guys who were like, we are the NPRA. Hello, where have you been all summer? I was like, where have you been all summer? And they were like, basically it exists. So the Newton Place has residents association, and they're going to be putting together a full executive by the end of the month. I'm thrilled. So yeah, huge news. Thanks.
Thank you, President Bourgeois. I'll now go to Vice President Rick.
Hello, Council. Thank you for listening to me speak again. This is so exciting. So in addition to everything that was mentioned in my report, actually we'll go through that. Active Transportation Advisory Group has been really, really great all summer. For those of you that have read my report, you can see that we completed the report that we wanted to over the summer, so that just kind of lays out like what active transportation and bike lanes would look like on campus. So that's been taking up a lot of time. A goal of mine for this semester is to create strategic plans for the bars, because I feel like every single year someone comes in and tries to revolutionize what the brand image is of Dewey's, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So we're going to try to make that more sustainable, which is quite exciting. The Social and Environmental Recommendations Committee, student large positions are now open. So if you want to advise SU operations and management when it comes to sustainability, both socially and environmentally, please apply. I'll send the links out to everyone. And then finally, just to update today, I met with Coca-Cola to discuss the joint beverage agreement, and nothing that exciting happened out of it. But yeah, hope everyone is doing well in the first 2 weeks back to school. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ripken. We'll go to President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To update on top of my written report, I did go to the Board of Governors board retreat on Thursday night and Friday during the day. Generally, the board is largely thinking about its position over the next year, 3 years, and 5 years, the next year being of specific interest because of the election cycle here in Alberta. The board, particularly President Turpin and administration, will be developing kind of a brand image and will be going forward with that sort of work, as well as advocacy priorities of such. A lot of those things will be discussed at more open public meetings, but generally we're looking at things like student participation, in post-secondary education across the province, investments in deferred maintenance otherwise, looking at research funding, as well as some other aspects that are lacking here in Alberta. Aside from that, I did my executive presentation to GSC exec, the first of many presentations I give to governance about the priorities of the Students' Union and executive goals for the year. It went decently smoothly. They gave us 5 minutes and I didn't have a clicker, so it was a good time. Aside from that, the executive was in attendance for Extinguished Researchers Grant that the university received. $5 million is going towards initiatives for research for children's health, and it's a fantastic donation from the Stollery Children's Hospital. Finally, the executive, the strategic, the
Committee on the Strategic Renewal, that's actually, I think, what it is called, is calling for members today. I'll introduce more of that once we get to that motion. But I am very excited to get started on the strategic plan, which is what that committee will be all about. For those of you who are unaware, we do have to renew our strategic plan this year. We have to review it, make sure that all of the goals, values, and missions remain those that we would like to see.
Thank you, President. That concludes your time.
To get started.
All right, that will conclude executive committee reports. We'll now move to board and committee reports. Is there any member of audit committee who could make a report, as they no longer have a chair? Councillor Stack, go ahead.
Oh, we haven't met.
We'll now move to Councillor Kim for bylaw.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Welcome back. So bylaw committee met on August 29th, and we had two items that we were discussing. One was our long discussion about bill number 2 regarding bylaw 100, and second one was bill number 4, which was regarding the chair's meeting. So in regards to bill number 2, since there was a lot of different opinion and there was no specific choice that was better than the other, and a lot of it had a lot of issues attached to it, whichever choice we make. So bylaw committee had decided to present it to council next week as a presentation, showing you folks different options that we are seeing and that are available to us, so that we can have further discussion and have more people adding more input into it, so it's more like consensus-based decision. When it comes to the chair's meeting, we have decided, when it comes to bill number 4, which was both voted down last time about the chair's meeting, we brought it towards our chair's discussion, and we'll be probably continuing to build on it. And it'll probably no longer be residing under bylaw committee. Our next meeting will be on September 27th, Thursday, from 4 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kim. Any members of the council administration committee who can make a report? Governor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as you heard earlier, Mr. Paladet has resigned. As he was chair of CAC, we have to both fill the vacant seat and elect a new chair at our next meeting. In addition, we may or may not have a second vacancy pending an appeal of one of the other councillors. So we'll see what happens with that in the next week or so. Short term, we'll be filling vacancies, electing a new chair, and kind of reviewing some of the unfinished business that was left with us. We did get some of our previous short-term goals out of the way with the jacket orders and week of welcome planning, but then we'll start setting our sights in for the mid to late fall term and then the winter term as well.
Thank you, Governor Fleming. I'm going to Vice President Ripka for Finance.
Hello, the Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting. We will be meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Please come.
So anybody on the nominating committee who can make a report on behalf of the nominating committee, as their chair is also no longer on council. President Larson?
Nominating committee has not met.
Thank you, President Larson.
That is true.
And we'll now go to Councillor Rates for Policy Committee.
Yes, so Policy Committee has met twice since last council meeting, the second meeting occurring today earlier. Our off-council Tuesday meeting schedule will continue for the rest of the semester, and our next meeting is on the 25th. We were able to review the internationalization policy today and put it forward for first reading next week, so anticipate that. Last meeting, we also put forward capital projects, which we'll be seeing again later today. Finally, we just discussed timelines or updates for the TRC policy, or the Truth and Reconciliation Commission policy, as well as timelines for the engagement and equity, diversity, and inclusivity policy within September, and I proposed what we would be doing next meeting. So we may also, we may or may not be getting a new member dependent on the appeal process, so reach out to me if you have any questions after the appeal process has ended. Thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to answering any questions that there may be.
Thank you, Councillor Reyes. Now go to Councillor Sunday for the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee.
So ARC last had a meeting on Monday, September 10th. A variety of topics were discussed at the meeting, including ARC's town hall, the creation of an alternative dispute resolution framework for Students' Council, and non-ARC member attendance at the committee. Specifically, the committee directed myself to formally invite the Vice President External to a meeting, and we are currently in the process of scheduling a time that works for everybody. In the future, ARC may formally invite those councillors who have yet to attend a meeting of ARC, and such adherence to an invitation will be recorded in ARC's report on Students' Council that will be published later in the year. As well, I am happy to announce that a traditional knowledge keeper has been contacted to present to Students' Council at its next meeting, Smudging Teachings. As well, Councillor Cutarm continues the search for the council elder. The councillor has a list of eligible individuals and is in the process of narrowing it down. Lastly, I would like to thank Councillors Hadouche, Palmer, Cutarm, and Bose for the great job they did representing the Students' Union at Toile. Thank you.
President Larson for the Executive Committee.
The major, I'm just checking my both calendar and policy. The major thing to report from Executive Committee is that we have filled a number of positions at the Students' Union, and particularly, as mentioned, the Director of Research and Advocacy, the External Advocacy Advisor, and per the will of Council later today, our Gaelta Board Coordinator. And it's been a while, but we have gotten an entire department staffed. Hooray. Aside from that, the biggest conversations continuously and ongoing with the Executive Committee are that we will have an Executive Committee retreat day-long next week, in which we'll discuss things such as ongoing campaign strategy and the general outlooks for the next year, including doing a full analysis of the executive goals up until now and going forward. So I'll be happy to report on that immediately following. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, President Larson. Governor Flanagan for the Board of Governors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as President Larson mentioned, we had our Board of Governors retreat Thursday evening and Friday due to a schedule and conflict at work, kind of very last minute. I was unable to attend Friday, but we had a great discussion after dinner Thursday night. I got to reconnect with some of the board members we haven't seen much over the summer, and we're excited to get back to work at our next plenary session, which will be on October 12th at 8 a.m. in SAB 231. Everybody's welcome to attend, and I encourage everybody to do so. I didn't have a written report done for today. Something I've been kind of grappling with between that and office hours as well, in speaking with some of my predecessors, none of them had, unlike the execs, none of them had written reports every single meeting. Some of them wrote infrequently, some of them didn't write at all. And I'd welcome to take suggestions on the frequency at which you would like me to provide written reports. I'm happy to do them for every meeting. Some of my reports do get kind of long-winded, and some of them go off tangents a lot. But if that's something you'd like me to do, I'd be more than willing to do that for you. And office hours, once my work schedule gets finalized after the ad-drop deadline, that is something I'd like to explore as well. Although typically my business weekdays are typically full from 8 to 5, so my office hours may end up falling in evenings or on weekends. That's pretty much it for me for now. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. So any other members of boards or committees that wish to make a report? Mm-hmm. Going once. Going twice. Seeing none, we will conclude board and committee reports there. We have 2 minutes before mandated recess, so I'm just going to take attendance and stop a little bit early. We'll go for recess and we'll come back and finish our business. So, go through this. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batner.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Here.
Governor Flano.
I am still here.
Councilor Lynn.
Yes.
Councilor Tobias.
Yeah.
Councilor Anderson.
Present.
Councilor Raitt.
Here.
Councilor Mwale.
Here.
Councilor Bilak.
Here.
Councilor Cunard.
Here.
Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussain.
Here.
Councilor Stack.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councilor Ansari.
Here.
Councilor Yao?
Here.
Councilor Rosalyn?
Here.
Councilor Bose?
Here.
Councilor Chung is still in the live stream. Mr. McCushman is doing that. Councilor Sunday?
Here.
Councilor Palmer?
Present.
Councilor Aizuki?
Here.
Councilor Hadouche?
Yeah.
Councilor Kim?
Here.
Councilor DePinto?
Here.
Councilor Agarwal?
Here.
Councilor Risby?
Yep. Yeah.
Councilor Bruce? And Councilor Belson? Without recess, please. We will now go into. Is that my timer? Oh, what's that? Attendance time before we go to that. We will now go into open forum. We currently have 6 individuals registered to ask questions. If you wish to have a question, you may press your button now. This is just for open forum for guests of council. Any of the 6 people who have registered as guests may ask questions. Going once. Here we go. Adela Schatz from the Gateway.
Yes, I just had a question for Vice President Academic. In your exec report, you mentioned that there's a strategic plan for online educational resources being developed. Just wondering if we could get some details on that and when it will be released.
The President Banagher.
Thank you for the question. So the Open Educational Resource Strategic Plan is going to be developed through the Open Education Advocacy Group, which I chair this year. We're hoping to have it released by the end of my term, just sort of developing throughout the fall term, sort of an event that we're hosting, kind of see what professors' stake is in OERs, consulting with students in the winter semester, and then hopefully developing that by the end of my term. Thanks for your question.
Any other questions from guests? Going once, going twice. Seeing none, we'll proceed into question period. Any members of council wish to ask a question? We'll begin with Councillor Hadouche.
Hello, I have a question for VP Rutka. More of a concern, really. The CSJ cafeteria is awful. Mm-hmm. It got changed this summer. Now Cafe PC Cloud is running it, but it's even worse because they don't even have poutine. What is CSJ without poutine? But we, it's overpriced and there are very limited options. There's just, like, no healthy options. What can we do about it? Because I don't think this decision was made through students, consultation.
Vice President Rick.
Thank you for your question. I'm actually going to defer my time to.
You cannot defer your time.
Oh.
Actually, you can.
Right. Not listening to
this. You can redirect your question.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Hey, thank you for the question. So I actually got pulled into a very impromptu meeting week before last at CSJ when Cafe PC Flat approached the faculty about their interest to take over the cafeteria because the faculty was becoming, the deadline was getting very close and they were not finding anybody to take over the cafeteria after they got Aramark out. So what I did was I sat in that meeting with the owners of Cafe PC Clet along with former AU Administrative Vice President of Academic Kirsten McDonald. They very directly asked us, what do students want in that cafeteria? We told them we want low prices, good quality and fresh food. I pointed them to a survey that I conducted last year that had over 250 responses from Campus St. John community. So what I would say cautiously is I am more than happy to reach out to Cafe PC Clet and see sort of how things are going. AUFSJ could also do that as well, but I would likely say that hopefully things start developing a little bit soon because they only got to take over the cafeteria on September 4th. So they've only been there a week, and my take is that they just haven't had time to develop their menu and their choice yet, but what was important for them was securing the location before students got back to campus.
Thank you, President Brown. I just want to quickly remind council, when you're asking a question, you have 30 seconds to ask the question. You have 2 minutes to respond. Now go to Councilor Palmer.
Oh, thank you.
My question is for one of the executives, whoever. I, through Open Studies, am experiencing a lot of different barriers in being limited to taking two courses at a time. The other universities can, you can take five or six, and I know I've brought this up before, so I just wondered both how to communicate better with Open Studies students and how to address the two course limit.
Thank you, Councilor Palmer. Which is that, who would you like to address that to? President Larson.
I'll defer the question to Vice President Academic.
You can defer your time. The counselor can, however, direct the question to Vice President Academic.
I'll redirect.
Vice President Vandegar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So unfortunately, Open Studies at the University of Alberta is actually an administrative unit of the university, so it limits the courses that Open Studies counselor, Open Studies students can take due to the fact that there's no like real support or faculty staff to front these costs. This is, if it is a priority of Councillor Palmer and Council, I would be more than willing to look more into the file. But unfortunately, as it stands right now, Open Studies students are limited to being part-time students due to the simple administrative barriers and financial barriers that we have as the University of Alberta with our Open Studies being an administrative unit, not an academic faculty. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Vandegar. Now to Governor Flan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for Vice President Ripka. Early last month, over at UBC, the Alma Mater Society voted to divest from fossil fuels and a new investment policy. So I was wondering what the makeup of our investments are, if there's any oil and gas related investments in our portfolio. If yes, would we be willing to pursue something similar? Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Flynn. Vice President Ripka.
Thank you. Question. Yes, I heard about UBC divesting, and that is very interesting to me. Currently, we do hold investments that are oil and gas involved. I think that this would be a good topic to bring to CERC, that Social and Environmental Recommendations Committee, because it is a fairly polarizing issue, specifically in Alberta. I don't want to speak on behalf of students because I really don't know what they would say about this, but thank you for the idea, and I do hope to bring this to
serve.
Thank you.
Councillor
Mawley. My question is directed to the President. So it involves the BOG fog. Yeah. And what you spoke to, can you kind of just speak to the delegated board authority that you mentioned in your report and what that structure would look like?
President Larson.
Just for a quick clarification, you were speaking about the idea about delegated board authority on fees or delegated board authority for the makeup of the board?
You said there would be a redevelopment around,
yeah. Yep. So the Board of Governors is currently looking at the mandates and membership of all of its committees.
Okay.
They are hoping to more or less streamline the process in which a lot of things happen at the board. There are a number of ongoing changes, the biggest being they're looking at adding a governance committee. They are looking at streamlining audit and risk into a single committee. And they are also considering some changes to BFPRC, which is finance and property, and health and human resources. Generally, where our students, we're kind of taking some points at is making sure that we have a representation when we're talking about risk, as well as having representation anywhere that student fees are discussed. We also want to make sure that if this is going to be a discussion on mandates, that fees are broken down within the mandate, because right now it's basically tuition and other. However, there are a multitude of different styles of fees on campus. So there's an ongoing feedback process for that. I'm happy to follow up more specifically with it.
Thank you, President Larson. Councillor Kim.
My question is also to President Larson. So I wasn't sure if you were talking about you already had the strategic planning meeting or something with the Board of Governors, or if you're planning to have it. And then you talked about deferred maintenance and other things as a topic that you were talking. And I was wondering, international tuition was one of the big issues that we had to deal with BOG last year. And from that decision, that proposal was that there will be another 2% increase to tuition this year.
So I was wondering if you are planning to include this issue to your discussion, or how are you planning to approach it this, how are you planning to approach it differently this year compared to last year so that it doesn't occur?
Councillor King, please keep your question to 30 seconds or shorter, please. President Larson.
For context, the board has a number of strategic retreats throughout the year, and we also have board meetings. So to answer that particular question about strategy for the board in general, they're looking at a number of things, particularly about the budget and international students. I would say that the focus really needs to be on the release of the tuition review for this year. The board is put into a specific place where it doesn't fully know what the levers for tuition they have going into the future. They don't have a full understanding of what the political landscape will look like on this file come basically the election time. It's very important that the current government releases a framework in which international students' tuition is included. That way the board of the University of Alberta can work within boundaries and can reevaluate what its approach to tuition is. Because as of right now, they likely would not reapproach that decision unless government releases that tuition review. I know that's a long-dated answer, but that is our number one focus in ensuring stability and tuition costs going forward.
Thank you, President Larson. Councillor Agarwal.
Hello. This is a very serious question. It's directed towards VP Brown. How many pancakes did you make during Week of Welcome?
President Brown.
I would like to thank Councillor Agarwal very much for that question. I was a part of either the making or serving of so many pancakes and maple syrup that I likely will not be consuming any more pancakes or maple syrup for the foreseeable future, aka like 2 weeks from now.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. We'll go to Councillor Lee.
All right, this one is for BP right now, so I've got two things. First of all, for the Active Transport Advisory Group, I see you talked about bike lane integration things with the city. I'm not sure if this is precisely that committee's mandate, but has bike theft been discussed? Because I know this is a big disincentive for many people on the campus. And do you think that there are ways that the students' union might be able to help deal with the issue of bike theft, like education or helping to have more secure bike racks on campus? The other thing, which I would say super quickly,
please. I'll let you ask a question because you haven't asked a question, but get to it now.
Oh, great, yes. So my question is if that's being discussed, and if so, what you said about it.
And what was the point of work?
In the last few questions, they've been referring to the respondent in the first person instead of going through the speaker.
Thank you very much, Governor Plowman. Just a reminder, yes, go through the speaker, please. You're referring to, remember what I said about Maddie, your friend in elementary school. And that question was for Council 8. Who was it for?
That was for a year ago.
Vice President Rich.
Thank you. Yes, bike theft was certainly brought up at the on the committee, and there were representatives from security and UFS, I believe that's where they got the data from about bike theft. So what did I say about that? I said, yes, that is a bad thing, and we should probably mitigate that in the future. To get more information on this subject, though, they are going to be releasing the report at the end of September, so I will forward it on to you if you would like that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Point of order?
Yes.
The same thing just happened as well.
It was a general you.
To clarify the statement I said earlier, when you can address the entirety of council. However, you should not be addressing an individual person. You should refer to them as the councillor, or if this particular councillor would like, as if you were telling me about them. I know it's a little. We're getting used to it. Next up, we have Councillor Stapp.
Great, so I'm going to be the guinea pig here. All right, so Mr. Speaker, can you direct the question to VP Banagar just with regards to within the Faculty of Business, it's come to my attention that minors do not show up on transcripts. We're also not allowed to double major. I was wondering if potentially moving forward, there would be potential for you to work with me and the BSA in addressing the faculty about that and getting that changed. Thank you.
Vice President Banagar.
Thank you for the question.
So I've actually been working on this file very closely with the Vice President Academic Evan Ferguson from the Business Students Association. So I would love to collaborate. This is the answer that we've gotten from the University of Alberta Registrar, Lisa Collins. So as the UF will, I'm just gonna read this email. The UF will parchment procedure provides guidance on minors and majors for the business faculty. So right now the registrar has final authority on whether specializations are able to go onto parchments. However, that's only at the recommendation of the faculty council. So to my knowledge, if business, the business faculty council puts forward a motion to let this happen, then this will happen. But the general sentiment has been that printing majors and minors on parchments might inadvertently limit a student's career prospects by underrepresenting the breadth of a business degree. So if this is something that the Faculty of Business wants, it would simply have to be a motion passed at the Faculty Council level, at which point the Registrar's Office would say yes, and it would begin to happen. And we would love to help with that, and especially if you want to be on part of this file as well, we can follow up after.
Thank you, Vice President Banninger. We'll now go to Councillor Palmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was asked by a councillor, I'm wanting to direct my question to a councillor, but I'm not sure how to do that.
So just, if any of this, anything else, you can say your question is for a particular councillor,
yeah,
and then ask that question.
My question is for Councillor Sunday, regarding the blanket exercise that we had through Discover Governance, if you'd like to speak to that.
Do you have a particular question around that, or?
That is my question, if you would like to speak about the blanket exercise that we did at Discover Governance, or one of the first few.
Councillor Sunday.
Can I make a motion to move in camera?
You are within the right to do that.
And then I'd like to make a motion to move in camera.
Motion in camera. Is there a second for that motion? Vice President Bourgeois. This is a non-debatable motion. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
And now our recording is back on.
Friendly reminder, you are now back on the minutes. You cannot speak about things like that. It's
true. My lips are sealed.
You can reintroduce ideas.
It's like, I was like, what happened though? Like,
all right. Those of you who are returning from the public, please enter quietly. We are going to get back into this because we want to get done for everyone. So I will restart our timer here. The next person on the speaking list was Councillor Sunday. Councillor Sunday, did you have a question, or was it related to the topic we just discussed?
What?
Did you have a question?
Did I have a question?
Yeah, you were the last person on the speaking list.
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay, Councillor Sunday.
Mr. Speaker, could the Vice President's academic... or does the Vice President Academic know if any open studies around Canada are faculties, or are they all administrative units?
Vice President Banninger.
Thank you for the question. I don't have the exact specific numbers for you, but it's pretty torn within U15 schools if open studies is a faculty and if open studies is an administrative unit. I can follow up with the exact numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, President Banninger. Is there any other members of council wishing to ask a question? Going once, going twice. Seeing none, that will conclude question period. We'll now move into board and committee business. Our first item on board and committee business is rates moves on behalf of the policy committee to approve the second reading for capital projects. Is there a second for this? Governor Clement. We'll now go to Councillor Rates to introduce this motion.
Hello! So I'm very excited to bring forward this second reading of the Capital Projects Policy. The last time we discussed this was at our last council meeting at the end of August. This policy has received considerable review, and has had some amendments proposed to it, which we discussed at last meeting. And so you're able to find that information within the minutes. But beyond that, between first and second reading, we did continue having conversations about how we were defining these spaces, what we thought of the makeup of the policy, if we thought there was any additional edits that were needed. And we, based on the discussion that we had, or lack thereof, within council, decided to move forward with the policy as is and send it into second reading. So I look forward to any discussion that will happen in here and taking in any questions. But I look forward to hopefully passing this policy and getting another policy renewed.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Councillor Riggs. Before we open debate, let's remind everyone, second reading, we are debating whether or not the principles that are written match the first principles that were approved at the previous meeting. That is what we're debating. We'll begin the debate with Councillor Sunday.
So I would like to start with a question to the policy chair. Were any students or student groups consulted whatsoever throughout this process? Thank you.
And remember, even if you're asked a question, you still have to request to be on the speaking list. This is debate, not question period. So if you press your button, when I get to you, you can answer that question. President Larson.
I won't answer the question on behalf of anybody, but I do want to There has been an extensive consultation on what is student priorities and deferred maintenance and capital projects throughout last year. I'm not sure if that information was taken into account, but I'd assume that some of that is in there, particularly around students' spaces, as that was feedback given through that process with faculty associations last year. On a different note, I do want to speak in favor of the motion. I am... that's it.
President Larson, Councillor Riggs.
I would like to thank Councillor Sunday for the question. The student perspectives that were centered on this bill throughout its recreation were the folks in the room of the committee. And so there were a lot of different perspectives within the policy committee coming forward and looking over this bill and discussing it. The wider sort of engagement that could be done on this bill is pretty complex and very nebulous. You can't get much more concrete and distant from direct sort of student impacts than capital projects, than buildings being built. I think the perspectives in the room were suffice. We had people who had been on campus for a long time, people who had been a part of design committees, people who had experienced living in residence, off campus, utilizing many different quadrants of campus. So I would say, from my perspective, and I look forward to hearing from other counselors on the committee, that the student perspective on the committee itself would suffice in reviewing this. Additionally, we did review other student union policies regarding this across Canada and could not find any comparisons. And beyond this, we also spoke internally with the SU to understand what the priorities had been in the past and what the priorities were moving forward, kind of based on what President Larson was referring to. And that was threaded through the development of this policy. So thank you for the question.
Councillor Sunday.
I ask because an example of a capital, this is a capital project, right?
Yep.
And student spaces, so for example, like the Musgrove House is something, so that is something that could potentially be involved in this policy, that maybe if students were contacted about it, could have been included. So I just want to make sure that students are involved in every process of the student union, from coming to council to the writing of policy.
Councillor Palmer.
Oh yes, I was just going to say that at first reading, I also had asked a question about student spaces, if that included mental health zones, and there was some discussion about the botanical gardens or rock gardens or something like that, but we did have a very robust conversation about mental health and student spaces in capital projects.
I'd just like to speak in response to Councillor Sunday's follow-up and just affirm that student perspectives were in the room. Councillors who are students were developing this policy. And because it is very distant from specific student interests or student effects, it's very much it's built to be a broad policy that can be applied in many scenarios. So this policy speaks to student groups or groups of students on campus who may aspire to have spaces built for them. This policy speaks to that sort of thing, but doesn't list out these things as a policy regularly would. However, I look forward to any kind of continued thought you have on this.
Councilor Stapp. I was just going to say, I also am in favor of this policy. I was there for first reading, as well as the development within the policy committee. I sat there that one time. And I think it's pretty comprehensive, pretty general, but covers basically every base. I see Councillor Sunday's perspective of every student or as many students as possible should be consulted, and I completely agree. However, if we do that for every policy, especially ones that are super specific to certain students, I think we won't be able to move through all of our policies we have to go through this year. So I think just the student perspectives within the committee itself is adequate for this particular policy. Thank you.
Councillor Sunday. I would just like to say that as counselors, we are in a position of privilege above students, and while we may be students, we are privileged above others. And while there may be arguments to say that this policy won't affect students as much as maybe others would, all political policies shape the executive advocacy, which does in turn affect students. So while I'm not voting against this bill, I'll be voting in favor, I do think that in the future it is important that we look outside of ourselves and outside of our own bubble to meet with students as much as we can and hear a variety of perspectives other than our privileged ones here on council. Thank you.
Anything else for Sunday? No, sorry.
Yes, I'd just like to, this is sort of devolving away from what we're intended to be discussing for these second principles, but I just like to recognize, and people from policy committee can either like, you know, confirm this or say like, heck no. But oftentimes when we're discussing these policies, people are just springing up in the room and being like, we should totally talk to this person, we should totally talk to that person, or we should be speaking with these people directly. And with this policy, it was just very difficult to tie it to a specific perspective. And the highly kind of detailed, nuanced points of the policy that may be related to students could be effectively kind of involved within that room, but I would just like to speak generally, and I invite anyone to come and observe policy committee meetings, because we are thinking about this thing actively. But yeah, I'll just kind of end my point there, and also say I'll be voting in favor of this. But yeah, I'm really glad for the kind of discussion we've had so far, because it's been way too easy bringing forward these policies because we've just been able to push them along. So I'm really, really thankful to be talking more fulsomely about all of this stuff.
Vice President Vandegaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to touch on the point of consultation and how I believe it is really important for all of our policies, and it is councillors' mandate as elected representatives to do consultation in terms of their faculties. So when we are in meetings, it's important to shy away from giving like your personal opinion and move towards an informed opinion, which is constantly based on relationships with students and consultation. And saying that, I do believe that this policy speaks to that exact thing, that everyone in policy committee was able to do consultation and relationship building with students, which inform the policy. And in saying so, I will be voting in favor of this policy.
I would just like to remind council that we're not voting whether or not we like this policy. We're voting whether or not the things that are written here agree with the first principles. So if you'd like to, your chance to debate the actual policy itself is over. You're debating whether or not this aligns with what was already agreed to. Vice President Rucker.
Thank you. Yeah, just really quickly, I also am in favor of this because it looks sound. That's great. And on the point of consultation, council, just a reminder that for any capital project that is proposed through the Students' Union, they will be doing direct consultation throughout the campaign, and probably, if they're smart, during the creation of the referendum question. And that's about as direct as you can get, is going to students to vote yes or no on a capital project. So they will, at some point, inevitably be consulted.
Call question.
We have called question. Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Rivka. For those of you who don't know, call to question means we end debate and vote on the motion. So you're now going to vote on the call to question. We'll do this via placard, we'll do the actual vote itself via secret ballot. All in favor of the call to question?
Wait, what does that mean again?
That means we're going to stop debate and just vote on the motion. Any opposition? That passes. We'll now go into voting on the motion at hand. Voting will open now. And remember, all those who are here, if you are a member of council, you may vote. If you are a guest of council, you may not vote. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Vote passes unanimously.
Yay.
Councillor Stat,
do you accept? not going to turn mics on for except, just say yes or no.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. And that will bring us to Councilor Bielak.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Pinto.
Councilor Pinto, do you accept?
No, I have class at that time. Thank you.
Councilor Sunday.
I would like to nominate Councilor Lay.
Councilor Lee, do you accept?
Lee, who?
I'm not turning the mic. I just stop.
I answered it both. I respectfully declined. My schedule's already pretty tight on those days. So.
Thank you. Councilor Yao.
Can I nominate myself?
Yeah. All right. Go to Flanagan.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Hussain.
Councilor Hussain, do you accept?
No, too much on my plate.
That's okay, thank you very much. Councilor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Bongale.
No.
Councilor Riggs.
JK.
If you wish to stop your request, hit the button again. And Councilor Palmer, I'll go back to you. Have you decided?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councilor Sunday. I'd
like to nominate Councilor Hadouche.
Councilor Hadouche, do you accept?
No.
So is there any other debate or nominations from the floor? Councilor Bielak.
Yo, I nominate Councilor Reitz.
Councilor Reitz, do you accept?
I respectfully decline. Thank you, though.
Let's maintain order, please, ladies and gentlemen.
What is order?
Is there any other? And back to Councilor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Vice President Academic.
Vice President Badinger, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Oh.
It's been a long time since there's been an executive on CAC.
No.
Is there any more debate or nomination from the floor? Once, twice. I'll close debate and nominations. Our people who have been nominated, Councillors Thibodeau, Rizvi, and Yao. So, what happens now is you each get a chance. I'll give you 2 minutes to say why you should be on CAC. Okay? We'll go in the order they were nominated, beginning with... get the timer going here.
You're looking for two or one?
What's that? There'll be one member. Right now, it's just one member.
Oh.
So, I'll begin with the proxy for Councillor Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Right. You have 2 minutes.
So, when I say I mean Councilor Thibodeau. I have attended nearly every CAC meeting over the past 2 years and have always enjoyed the discussion and dialogue that occurs in the meetings, including serving as Councilor Ferris' proxy over the summer. I have collaborated with Councilor Poundat this year to help CAC in important decisions, including CAC's decision to participate in the WOW for a second year in a row. I hope Council considers my dedication to CAC both as a proxy and under my own volitions, as well as perspectives I introduce to the committee. Discussions when they vote for the councillors to be named CAC's permanent membership.
I'll go to Councilor Rizvi.
Well, I think during the summer I went to a total of 2 CAC meetings, so there's that. But I'd like to, I guess, forego my nomination in favor of the new council member, so she can have a chance.
Councilor Risby has withdrawn her nomination. We'll now go to Councilor Yao.
Hi, everyone. Although I'm new one here, but I want to try my best to contribute myself. And the speaker told me that I should be brief today, so I just tried.
Yeah!
All right. So, those are your speakers. We now have 2 people, Councillor Thibodeau and Councillor Yap. What I will do is I will open up the secret ballot. We will give a plus in no particular reason, a plus for Councillor Thibodeau, a minus for Councillor Yap. Voting is open now. Plus for Thibodeau, minus for Yao.
close in 3, 2, 1. The new permanent member of CAC is Councillor Young. All right, we can turn to our agenda. Very similarly, Larson moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Audit Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Saw Councilor Kim first.
Because you're always looking there.
I look like this.
No.
All right. President Larson, would you like to introduce this motion?
I would. So the Audit Committee, again, I'll give a very brief description, although I know this isn't all of it, so if an Audit Committee member would like to also fill out the details, please do chime in. Audit Committee is responsible for, number one, producing the yearly audit of the Students' Union, which means that you get to learn a lot about auditing. It's a lot of fun. You also get to engage with an external auditor. You'd be surprised. It's actually a lot of fun. I did it. Two, the Audit Committee gets to look over, I believe, if it is still the current process, the Executive Committee and Manager's expenses and expense reports. I must say it is the best time, by far, that I've ever had with pieces of paper and receipts. You generally get to ask questions as in, why, President Larson, did you buy a coffee on a Tuesday? Those sort of things are important. Finally, Audit Committee is responsible for the audits of faculty associations, DFUs, and other mechanisms. I can't remember fully everything that is actually audited within the DFUs, but there are a number of audits. And that is also a good time, because you get to ask people, why did your budget line vary by 50%, 30%, blah, 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 and they have to prove themselves, which is a good time. I highly recommend it. It's a great learning opportunity for anybody who wants to learn more about how audits work in an organization of this size, which is kind of a medium-sized nonprofit. Finally, I don't know what the meeting schedule is, so if anybody does know, please do let the council know.
Thank you, President Larson. We'll now open the floor to debate and nominations, beginning with Vice President Batner.
I would like to nominate Councillor Hussain.
Councillor Hussain, do you accept?
Yep.
We'll now go to Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Cutter.
Councillor Cutter, do you accept?
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll now go to Councillor Agarwal.
I was going to nominate Councillor Hussain.
Thank you. Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Yao.
Councillor Yao, do you accept?
I think I should just step one.
Just
FYI, the calendar of the next audit committee meeting is September 13th at 4:30 p.m. and they usually meet the hour before our council.
Wait, when's the next one?
September 13th.
So like 2 days.
Yes.
But normally.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And again, very good use of point information.
Also, another question.
Yes.
Unless things have changed since my time on audit, execs not serve on it.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, good point. Thank you very much, Governor Flammer. Do not nominate any executives. Any other nominations or debate from the floor?
Yeah.
Councillor Palmer.
Can I nominate Councillor Lynn?
Councillor Lynn, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Thank you, Councillor Lynn. Councillor Risby.
I think I'd like to nominate myself.
I could have done that
for him. Councillor
Sutton. I'd like to nominate Councillor Mogale.
Councillor Mogale, do you accept?
No.
Is there any further nominations or debate from the floor? Going once?
No.
Going twice? That will now close debate. We have three people who are being nominated. Councillors Hussain, Cutter, and Risby. They will each be given 2 minutes to speak as to why they would best be on audit in the order that they were nominated, beginning with Councillor Hussain.
I accepted the nomination package for, three reasons. One, I've said in all the DFUs, that most of the DFUs was EPIC, and I think I could actually audit them more, as I'm the also financial portfolio for Epic. And secondly, I'm coming from business. It's my technical background, so I'll do a good job. I'm not coming to learn on the job, but rather to actually contribute. So with that being said, that's why I accepted the offer.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain. Now go to Councillor Cutter.
Alright, so the main reason I wanted to run for audit committee is because in the future I hope to audit my hometown, and I think this would be good experience for it, and also I do quite enjoy going.
I'm nosy, so I like going to the
I think it would be a nice distraction from school sometimes.
Hey, Councillor Carr. Councillor Rizzi.
All right. I did give my name in for the nomination for audit committee because I think that I have good attention to detail, and I had a summer job once, and it was literally like auditing employees at a federal organization. So I think I bring that experience in terms of like, I think I'm a truthful and honest person, but in terms of keeping the exec accountable, I think it'd be a good learning experience. Unlike what Councillor Hussain had said earlier, he brings the experience, but I think I bring the strong arms, so it'll be fun to see how much President Larson spent on coffee.
You know, he's
thank you, Councillor Rizvi. So those are our three people, Councillors Hussain, Cutarm, and Rizvi. We'll do a plus for Councillor Hussain, a zero for Councillor Cutarm, and a minus for Councillor Rizvi. Voting is now open. Plus for Hussain, zero for Cutarm, minus for Rizvi. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. By a very narrow margin, our new member of Audit Committee is Councillor Cutter. Okay, now moving to our next item. Larson moves to approve Stephen Rates to hold the position of GOTV Coordinator with the Students' Union. And he provides a section of bylaw there stating that elected members of student council may not serve as student union permanent employees unless approved by student council. Just a second for this motion by Governor Fleming.
Point of order.
Yes.
Is this operating policy or is it bylaw?
This is operating
policy. Operating policy, my apologies. This is operating policy. All right. So seconded by Governor Fleming. President Larson, would you like to introduce your motion?
I would.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So everybody is aware this is a section of operating policy within the Students' Union. Operating policy is the purview of Executive Committee and, it is the purview of the Executive Committee. It is the guiding document for the General Manager and staff, which basically outlines everything within the organization, from hirings, findings, everything else in between. Particular around hirings is this clause, which is that if a member of Students' Council applies for employment with the Students' Union and it is not a hourly wage and or a, I think it would be technically a union wage, that position must be ratified by Students' Council. In particular, this position with Councillor Ritz went through a fairly rigorous process, including interviews and everything else in between, including a a vetting process before the interview process that a number of executives were involved in. So there was a layer in between the counselor, executive, and his position as well. Finally, I think that it was a very good decision. I'm otherwise thrilled to have Councillor Reyes or in this position, Stephen Reyes, on board with us at the Students' Union, and look forward to his creativity in the Get Out the Vote campaign.
Thank you very much, President Larson. I'll now open the floor to debate, beginning with Governor
Clark. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I intend wholeheartedly support Council Rates. I think he's going to do a great job. However, I just for those unaware, I was wondering if President Larson could maybe explain a little bit as to why that section is in standing orders. I mean, operating policy. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Governor Flanagan. We'll now go to Vice President Bourgeois.
Yeah, I'm voting in favor of this. I think it's absolutely great and fantastic in every way.
President Larson.
So everybody is aware, this more or less ensures that the executive committee or anybody else within the student union doesn't randomly create contract positions for student counselors to buy a sway, basically. I can't just like randomly create a new position and then offer it to, let's say, Counselor Stat and be like, Counselor Stat, you now have your job as our legal rep. Right, so it has to come here for an explanation as to the process. It also requires one more check and balance for that process as well.
Thank you, President Larson. Is there any other debate on this motion? Going once, going twice. Oh, Councilor Palmer.
Yes, I have a question about what would your first project be?
Councilor Rates.
Am I able to answer this question? If
you are able to answer, but I think you should think about how you should vote.
Oh no, I'm aware. To clarify, I will be abstaining from voting on this because, duh. my first ball's already rolling. Here we go. Some of my initial focuses have been figuring out the logistics of how we'll try to get mass one-on-one engagement with students on the ground, as well as discussing specific kind of marketing tools that we'll be using and partnerships that we'll be developing with other universities across Alberta and with entities like Elections Alberta. So those are kind of like the three big things that have happened so far. So those are the three first things that I've kind of taken on. But there's so much more down the pipe, and look forward to it.
Thank you, Councilor Rates. Is there any other debate on this motion? Going once. Going twice. I will close debate. We will proceed to voting on this motion. So we're doing this by secret vote. Plus means you agree and you want to approve this. A zero is an abstention, and a minus is you do not approve this. Voting is now open. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. 25 in favor, 4 abstentions, 0 opposed. Motion passes. Is there any abstentions wishing to be noted? Councilor Riggs, thank you very much. All right, that concludes the items that were on the late edition. We'll now go back to the main order paper. Beginning with, over here, once again, Larson moves to appoint 4 members of Students' Council to the PAW Strategic Operating Committee. Is there a second to this motion? Councilor Agarwal.
He just had it in his hand up.
President Larson would like to introduce this motion.
I would. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Past my bedtime, actually. So the PAW Strategic Operating Committee is a part of the agreement we have with the university where we have given capital, we basically passed a capital referendum for the construction of the PAW Center. Therefore, we have continuous feedback into the center, including ongoing projects like renovations, the gym, the PAW Center. If anybody has any idea of what that is, it is the center. Is it that way? No, it's this way.
It's right there.
It's right there, yeah. In all honesty, it's a cool experience because you get to work with certain university administration around the upkeep of what is one of the major facilities on campus, as well as realistically think about how those fees and otherwise are going to be continuously spent on students' behalf. So I highly recommend it to anybody. The meeting times are listed. Those are more or less hard. You won't be able to like windangle their calendar. You have to make yours fit into theirs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, President Larson. I will now open the floor to debate and nominations of this motion, beginning with Governor Flynn.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Lee.
Councillor Lee, do you accept?
I agree to accept.
Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Palmer.
Councillor Palmer, do you accept?
respectfully decline, but I would like to nominate Councillor Rizzi.
Actually, you are next. Joke's on me. Councillor Rizzi, do you accept?
I do, thank you.
Vice President Batnagar.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Cobas.
Councillor Cobas, do you accept? Vice President Bourgeois.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Lee.
Councillor Lee has already been nominated.
Yes.
Councillor Sumner.
I'd like to nominate Vice President Bourgeois.
Vice President Bourgeois, do you accept?
Dude, I mean that's against me.
just give me a second. I'm gonna look at my schedule.
We'll come back to you. Did you want to nominate someone else? Or did you just accidentally hit your button after that?
I still do want to.
Okay, when I get to you then.
Thanks.
Councillor Agarwal.
I would like to nominate Councillor Bielak.
Councillor Bielak, do you accept?
I effective plan.
You, Councillor Bielak. Councillor Mawali.
I'd like to nominate whoever the rep for KSR is.
There is no rep for KSR.
Oh, there isn't.
She's
KSR is currently vacant.
Okay.
Next up, we'll go to President Bourgeois.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bila.
Councillor Bila.
I'm looking at myself. Councillor
Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Vice President Academic.
Vice President Batnagar, do you accept?
Maybe.
I'll come back to both of you. We'll appear to Councillor Cobas.
Can I take back my decline?
You'd like to accept the nomination now?
Yeah.
You can also nominate yourself. I don't want you.
I'd like to accept the nomination.
I didn't realize that it was only three meetings.
Four.
Four meetings listed.
Councillor
Rizvi. I'd like to nominate Councillor Agarwal.
Yeah. Councillor Agarwal, do you accept?
I am flattered and deeply honored, but I'm going to have to decline.
Sorry.
Councillor Kim.
I would like to nominate Councillor Yao.
Councillor Yao, do you accept?
Actually, no. I don't have time that... Because I mean, engineering was really, really hard working.
Okay. Vice President Bourgeois.
Sorry for doing that twice.
Yeah.
Point of information, how many nominations do we have?
We currently have four that have accepted, one who we're waiting to see, and there are four spots on the committee.
Oh.
Vice President Batnagar, have you decided? Okay, we'll now go to Councillor Staff.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hassan.
Councillor Hussain, do you accept?
No, thanks. My head is full.
Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate the Vice President External.
Vice President Brown, do you accept?
Sure.
Councillor Rates.
I would like to nominate myself.
Councillor Mawali.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Azuki.
Councillor Azuki, do you accept? You can just say it. We're just
okay.
Going to do it.
I respectfully decline the farm schedule. Thanks.
Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate those three.
You can only nominate one at a time.
Okay, but I have three.
Who is it?
Bethel
and Ak. Me? No, I declined earlier.
But your friend that's next
one? No, he's not a counselor.
Who's your next one? You go to someone except.
Who is sitting behind Pastor
Shaw?
The lady here?
Oh.
Councillor Rosalind, do you accept?
I'll think about it.
Okay, we'll go back to you.
And if not, then...
Just
Councillor
Holmes.
Next door.
Councilor Bowles.
Okay, so where is the location of the meeting?
Does anyone know? I believe it would be in the PAW Center.
My engineering friend.
it was in the Minerva room.
I think President Larson might know more info. Unless it's on here, it's not on here. When he comes back, we'll ask him. I'll come back to you. Okay? There was the. There's not anymore. Last time I checked. Yeah? Still no one there. Okay, I'm now going to. Councilor Sade.
I'd like to nominate the president.
President Larson, you accept.
How do you want?
And President Larson, there was a question. Do you know where these meetings are held?
On campus. North campus.
Does that help you?
Yeah, I accept.
We'll now go to Councilor Agarwal.
I nominate Councilor Ansari.
Councilor Ansari, do you accept? Okay, and I'll go to Vice President Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Due to the high caliber and numerous candidates now available, I will retract my name. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. And Councilor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate the Vice President of Operations and Finance.
Vice President Rook, can you accept?
I'm in bed.
I respectfully decline.
Councilor Palmer.
I would like to nominate Councilor Speaker.
Pass for Councilor Thibodeau.
Decline. Thank you.
Councilor Risby.
I will follow suit Vice President Brown's advice and withdraw.
So any more nominations or debate from the floor?
How many are there?
Currently there are 5 nominations, 4 spots.
Okay.
5 nominations, 4 spots.
Anyone else want to withdraw?
Councilor Kovas.
I'll withdraw.
Okay.
And motion to close nominations.
I'm gonna rule that out of order. I just want to see if anyone else wants to nominate it, because if there is competition, that's always better than having just defaults. But if you don't want to, it's up to you guys.
It's competition.
What's that?
That's true. Competition.
So, is there any more nominations or debate from the floor? Going once. Going twice. Good? If you'd like to, this is your last chance to nominate yourself or someone else. Okay, I will then close debate. As there is only 4 people on here, by acclamation, Councillors Lee, Vice President Bourgeois, Councillor Rates, and Councillor Bose now sit on the PAW Strategic Operating Committee.
Yay!
We'll go to our final item on the agenda. Larson moves to appoint 3 members of Student Council to the Strategic Plan Steering Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Governor Flanagan. President Larson, you have the floor to introduce the motion.
Something? motion to adjourn the meeting.
You have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
There is one thing on here. You know what, because, President Larson, how time sensitive is this item?
It can wait. However, the meeting times listed there will not change. And for everybody's benefit, the first meeting has currently scheduled, although we can push the first meeting, is currently scheduled for the for the 18th, so before the next council meeting. However, that first meeting can be pushed to September 25th, and that would not be a consequence.
Okay, so given that, Councillor Risby seconds the motion. All in favor? Actually, we do have to debate. We do debate the motion to adjourn. We do debate the motion to adjourn. So I'll now open the floor to a debate the motion to adjourn.
Can we move to adjourn if that's already been put to the floor, though? Would we just we move to table this. If it passes, we adjourn on that.
That would also work.
That would also work. Actually, yes, probably the better way of doing this would be to move to table this item to the next meeting. Okay. Would be the better way of doing this.
Sure.
So if you change your motion to that?
Sure.
Councilor Risby, I'll give you the second again because you got the first one. So that's, we'll make that, for the minutes, we'll make that a motion to table. Okay, motion to table the item. We'll now open debate on the motion to table. Beginning with Ms. Prismarica.
All right, thank you. So whether it's to adjourn or to table, I just feel that this is a fairly important item. And I kind of get the, I'm reading the room and everyone's sort of loopy. And I don't think that's appropriate for a committee that is so important, such as the Strategic Planning Steering Committee. So just like to table it to the next meeting so that every nomination can be thoroughly thought out and serious about it, because it is a serious matter. Thank you.
That's why.
Let's push through it. You know we can do it. I believe in you, and you, and you. Let's do it, is what I'm saying.
I will
have to. So I also have to agree with my colleague who just spoke. I agree with Councillor Mogale. I believe that we can just put, it's only three, we could put through it, we will have other stuff on the agenda next time. As well, I would like to sit on this committee, I came up with the whole speech, so I already have a prepared.
Thank you, Councilor Sunday. Governor Flannery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the important thing to recognize is that unlike a nomination for, say, like nominating committee or some of the standing committees that we have that end at the end of the year, the discussions that the strategic plan steering committee, like the strategic plan lasts 4 or 5 years? 5 years. So as Vice President Ripka stated, we need to, I don't think this is something that we should do at the tail end of a 3.5 hour night. So it does need to have a lot of thought. It is gonna have long lasting implications long after all of us are gone, except maybe me. I do think that rather than rushing through this at the end of the day, and it is going to give us an extra week because our next meeting is next Tuesday, so I don't see any harm with pushing this back 1 week.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. President Larson.
I will speak in favor of the motion for the particular point that we have four members of council who are currently appealing the position on council. Although they all have different reasons, I am sure, I do believe that including those faculty positions in particular will be important for this debate.
Thank you, President Larson. Councilor Risby.
Well, thank you, Vice President Ripka, because I, for one, am feeling kind of loopy. I also have, like, another commitment to get to, so if you guys do decide not to table it, then I'll tune in on the live stream.
Councilor Hussain.
I'm also in favor of tabling this motion. I'm pretty tired. I honestly have been running from meetings to meetings from 2 o'clock up to now, and if it's something important for the council and for the future of the council, we have to table it when you actually have raised it and have thought about it. Thanks.
Call the question.
We received a call to question. Is there a second for that? Yes. Councilor Kemp. As it has been spoken to for and against, I will allow this. All in favor of calling the question? Just remember, calling the question is just ending this debate and voting on it. Black is nice and high, please. Any opposition? Any opposition? We have one opposition.
No.
Right. That means that
we're delayed.
Unanimously passes. We are going to vote. So we'll do this by placard as well. Make it easy. All in favor of tabling the final motion? All opposed? That carries. Motion is tabled. We'll do attendance. Meeting will be adjourned. Actually, before we adjourn, good process. Is there any other motions from the floor?
That's pretty good.
All right.
I'm impressed. That's you.
No attendance. Please don't get up and start moving around toward that attendance. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Banner.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Present.
President Bourgeois?
Yep.
Governor Clement?
Here.
Councilor Lynn?
Yep.
Councilor Kobus?
Yep.
Councilor Anderson?
Yep.
Councilor Riggs?
Here.
Councilor Wale?
Here.
Councilor Bila?
Here.
Councilor Cunnar?
Here.
Councilor Lee?
Here.
Councilor Hussein?
Here.
Councilor Stapp?
Here.
Approximate Councilor Thibodeau?
Here.
Councilor Ansari?
Here.
Councilor Yao?
Here.
Councilor Rosalind?
Here.
Councilor Bolt?
Here.
And Councilor Chung is not here. Councilor Sunday?
Here.
Councilor Palmer? Councilor Izuki?
Here.
Councilor Hadoosh?
Not here.
Councilor Kim?
Yep.
Councilor DePinto?
Here.
Councilor Agarwal?
Here.
Councilor Risby?
Yep.
Councilor Bruce? Councilor Belcourt? Meeting adjourned at 9:24 p.m.
Yeah.
Thank you.